Each month, we speak with Dr. Rebecca Ananian Welsh, lecturer in public law at the University of Queensland's T.C. Byrne School of Law and co-author of The Tim Carmody Affair, Australia's Greatest Judicial Crisis. Today, we're looking at the two private members' bills to decriminalise abortion that were introduced and then withdrawn to the Queensland Parliament in February. We're looking at the Queensland Law Reform Commission, the High Court finding involving Clive Palmer arguing some tricky constitutional points, and the ACTU Secretary's comments this week saying she does not see a problem with workers breaking laws when those laws are unjust. We start with the two Rob Pine private members' bills, looking at decriminalising abortion in Queensland.
When a private member like Rob Pine introduces a bill, unless he can get the support of a majority in Parliament, it's never going to get through. There's not much choice there. I mean, he can let it go to a vote and lose, knowing that he's going to lose, or he can withdraw it and try and negotiate a compromise or garner more community support and convince the government to support him.
So are private members' bills different to other parliamentary bills?
Not really. They're just a lot less likely to be passed, especially in Queensland where we have only one House of Parliament and the government of the day almost always has the majority of seats in that House.
Would these bills need to be rewritten or amended in order to introduce them again to the Parliament, or could they be resubmitted as they are, regardless of support?
Usually you'll see changes if they are submitted again. There's likely to be some negotiation that happens now. The other option here is for there to be more of a community groundswell of support to really convince the government to get on side here. The government may just not want to decriminalise abortion, and then there's not much that Rob Pine can do.
The current abortion laws have now been referred to the Queensland Law Reform Commission. Could you explain what the Queensland Law Reform Commission is?
Every state has a Law Reform Commission, and there's an Australian Law Reform Commission as well. It's a statutory body, so it's removed from politics, and it's kind of like a research body. So the government will refer questions to the Law Reform Commission or topics, and it'll go away and do research around that and then come back with recommendations.
How do those changes work?
Referring something to the Law Reform Commission can be fantastic because it's all quite open. They'll issue an open report that goes into the history of the laws and really think through what needs to happen here. That process can take a long time. And at the end of the day, it makes recommendations that might be rational and apolitical, but the government can completely ignore them if it wants to.
Why didn't they just do this in the first place? Can anybody refer a law, or does it have to be the government?
It has to be the government, and it's a bit chicken and the egg in bringing about law reform. And law reform in the area of abortion has been on the cards in Queensland for a really long time. They could have just initiated an inquiry, which would have been a slow-moving way to do it. The challenge now will be to see if the momentum in the movement can stay over the months that it will take the Law Reform Commission to actually come up with its recommendations.
Do we come up with better laws or worse laws through such a slower process?
Well, the hope is that a slower, more deliberative process, one that's more even comparative and certainly well-researched, would give you better laws. But that might not get you a law that reflects community values. The Law Reform Commission isn't going to go out and talk to members of the community about what they want. That's what politicians are going to do. Rather, they're going to look at what's going on in the world in other jurisdictions. Are these things outdated? Are there prosecutions, which there aren't, under Queensland's abortion laws? So depends how you're going to define better. This process could bring about any change. If the Law Reform Commission is making recommendations, the government's more likely to go ahead with it rather than be seen to taking radical action on its own motion or just following Rob Pine.
I'd just like to jump to the next topic, Clive Palmer and Queensland Nickel. Could you briefly explain Clive Palmer's High Court case for us?
As everyone's aware, the Queensland Nickel collapse a few years ago left debts of over $300 million and about 800 Townsville refinery workers out of work. Now, when that kind of thing happens, the liquidators are able to question the directors and others involved. They do this in open court, but it's about the liquidators trying to figure out what went wrong, why the company collapsed, and maybe whether it should bring any legal action. The liquidators of Queensland Nickel want to question Clive Palmer, and he's been resisting being questioned. Palmer went so far as to mount a High Court challenge saying that the liquidators can't question him in court because it undermines the separation of powers. Particularly, it involved the court in exercising non-judicial powers, which it can't do under the Constitution. It wasn't necessarily a bad argument. It's a really complicated area of law, and I think he had a chance that the court would have found in his favour, but it didn't. The entire High Court found against Clive Palmer, which means that he will be questioned by liquidators about his involvement in the Queensland Nickel collapse.
What would the liquidators be asking of Clive Palmer? Will, say, his staff, will they get their money?
The real role here for the liquidators is to just try and figure out what happened. And that's probably the softest way to put it. What they'll be looking for is, did Clive Palmer do something wrong? Or was there some kind of misconduct or even negligence that led to the collapse of Queensland Nickel? They may end up deciding to bring legal action against him, or they might not.
Finally, the New Australian Council of Trade Unions, the ACTU Secretary Sally McManus, says she doesn't see a problem with workers breaking laws when the laws are unjust. How do you feel about that sort of idea with regard to our laws?
Sally McManus's comment reflects a particular way of thinking about law that comes out of observations about things like apartheid and Nazi Germany that were supported by properly enacted laws. And there's some ways of thinking where you say if a law is patently unjust, then perhaps individuals just shouldn't follow it, or perhaps it isn't even law at all. So there is a school of legal thought that's been around at least since kind of the Second World War. That's a very serious thing for McManus to be saying in her position as the Secretary of the ACTU. But at the end of the day, even those who adhere to that kind of idea that each individual can make up their own mind about whether a law is so unjust that it doesn't have to be followed, they still accept that they have to suffer the consequences. You're not saying that you shouldn't be punished for it, just that it's your individual choice about whether or not to follow it.
That was Dr. Rebecca Ananian-Welsh ending that report. For more information about Rebecca's research and publications, search for her on UQ's website. For Queensland Law Reform Commission information, go to qlrc.qld.gov.au. And for information about the ACTU, go to actu.org.au. You're listening to 4ZZZ Brisbane.